Welcome to The Week Ahead in Russia, RFURL's Monday podcast about significant developments and upcoming events in Moscow and beyond. I'm Steve Gutterman, and my guest this week is RFURL senior correspondent Robert Coulson. Hi, Rob. Good to have you on the show again after a long hiatus.
Thanks. It's great to be back.
All right. So we've touched on this in one or two previous shows, I think, but I want to talk about the Ukrainian presidential election. The runoff this coming Sunday, April 21st, is obviously one of the biggest things coming up in the region. It's a two-person contest now between the incumbent Petro Poroshenko and Volodymyr Zelensky, a comedian and TV personality who's making his political debut, basically, at the highest level of a presidential election. I think most Russia watchers and Ukraine watchers have gotten used to the idea that a comic may be the next president of Ukraine. And in fact, opinion polls are pointing to a pretty big win for Zelensky. But I think it's safe to say this is an election like we've never seen in the region since the collapse of the Soviet Union in 1991, both in terms of kind of a prominent candidate's lack of political background, although I could be wrong about that. I'd have to think about it a little more. And also some of the elements of the campaign, such as the back and forth about a debate. Poroshenko went to Olympic Stadium in Kiev yesterday to debate Zelensky, but Zelensky had said he wouldn't show up and didn't, so it turned into a bit of a rally. But there have been a fair amount of things like that, there's been maybe a lack of talk about the issues, but a lot of things that are interesting for show. And, I think that makes it a little different from some of the campaigns in the former Soviet Union. Now, one thing I've been looking at is, I think some observers are saying, all these elements kind of make it, it has a bit of a democratic feel to it in terms of, you had 39 candidates, I think, on the ballot, this political unknown who's come up. It's very different from, say, a campaign in Russia. And in Ukraine in general, there have been, I think, Leonid Rogozin, a journalist who pointed this out on Twitter, there have been six presidents since 1991 in Ukraine, if you include the one who was in power shortly after the Maidan for a few months. And, that's compared to three in Russia. And in Russia, of course, Medvedev was turned out to be a placeholder for Putin. So I think, in a way, this is something that Russia, I think, is probably looking at as well, or I think people in Russia may be looking at as well. Maybe this campaign looks a little funny. They have this kind of back and forth about the debate, and there's a comedian who might be president. But on the other hand, it looks like the people have more of a choice, perhaps. So I guess I'd ask, Rob, what do you think? I mean, do you think the Kremlin has any particular hopes for this vote or for the aftermath? There's been some talk about whether Zelensky would be more pro-Russia than Poroshenko has been. And also, do you think the Kremlin is watching it at all with an eye toward Russian politics in the future and maybe some of the things that that they have to think about and try to avoid, perhaps?
Well, it has been a crazy postmodernist campaign, as you point out. And it's very strange to me to see such a thing in Ukraine now, which is a country that is in a very perilous geopolitical situation, even and a perilous existential situation, you might say. And one would think that the voters would be much more conservative and much more worried. The idea that they're, basically buying a cat in a bag with this Zelensky character is it's hard to fathom. But to get to your question about Russia's point of view, I think it's sort of a win-win situation for Russian political technologists, because the most important thing to them is to discredit democracy in general and to continue this narrative of Ukraine as a failed state, and to reflect their common narrative about Russian elections that the main thing is stability and knowing what you're going to get. And Russians are very conservative people as a rule. They like that message. So I think from the Russian political technology point of view, the campaign in Ukraine is something that they welcome.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's interesting because I would sort of, maybe it's like wishful thinking, but I guess I would at least, you know, entertain the idea of to some degree the opposite, or at least some people in Russia thinking, well, I wish we had, you know, this kind of campaign. I mean, I see what you're saying, obviously, you know, and it is striking that there's been a bit of a, you know, a lack of the issues in the debate in Ukraine. And as you say, at obviously a very important time in Ukraine. I mean, you think people would want to know a lot more about the positions of the candidates, I guess. I mean, on the one hand, you have Zelensky, who hasn't said much about his, and then Poroshenko also. But his, I mean, he's obviously he's done things as president, but you know, some of the things he does, like with an ad suggesting that he is running against Putin. I mean, that's not very substantive either. You could say so. So yeah, I mean, I agree, but I think maybe the Kremlin could be looking at it in terms of also, well, you know, what do we have to do to kind of avoid this kind of situation where the incumbent is being challenged by someone with little experience who has become quite popular and is being, you know, and is presenting an alternative for what it's worth. Go ahead.
I mean, it reinforces the Kremlin's tried and true political technologies of making sure they know exactly and control exactly who is running. They control the media and make sure that there is no chance for an outsider to come up and get that kind of prominence. And if necessary, they put them in jail or disqualify them from electing in the first place.
So, right. I mean, that's an interesting point. And in some ways, that's sort of what has happened with Navalny. I mean, he has more political experience. He ran for mayor of Moscow. But I think you're right. I mean, the Kremlin has sort of taken these actions with Navalny to avoid the kind of thing that's happening with Zelensky in Ukraine.
Yeah, and there's also, if you look at Russian state media coverage of the election in Ukraine, which I follow only sort of with one eye, but I mean, they're very clearly creating a narrative of the campaign that makes what is happening in Ukraine something that average Russians who get their information from state television are going to feel we don't want that to happen in our country. And I think that's just a plus for the Kremlin.
Kind of the bottom line there, yeah. I guess, for the Kremlin. I mean, we have a little time. One thing that's happening in relations between Ukraine and Russia, and I'm just going to sort of wondering whether the election and who's elected is going to change those relations. One thing that we have going on this week, again, is the 24 Ukrainian sailors who were jailed after the Russian Coast Guards seized their boats near the Kerch Strait in November. They have some hearings coming up, I think, tomorrow and Wednesday for extension of their pretrial detention in jail. And the Ukrainian ombudswoman is in Moscow to try to, I guess she's talking to European or Western ambassadors to try to generate more support or for the release or more pressure on Russia for the release of these Ukrainian sailors. Now, I mean, this is kind of just one element in the very bad relations between Russia and Ukraine now. I mean, do you think that the Kremlin, you know, you talked about how they may see the election, but do you think that they have any hopes in terms of, Are relations going to change if Zelensky becomes president?
I don't know. It's a very difficult situation because the only substantive way in which relations could change would be for Kyiv to acknowledge that Crimea is lost, and it's just really hard to imagine that could happen. The Kremlin's hope is really for chaos, for disorder, for political impotence in Kyiv, and that allows Moscow to continue its manipulations in the east with sort of a free hand and its solidification of control in the Black Sea.
Yeah, that sounds reasonable. Okay, well, thanks very much, Rob. Great to have you on the show again.
Thank you very much for having me.
All right, thanks. And that's it for today. I'll be back next Monday to take a look again at the week ahead in Russia.